Welcome to Talking Supply Chain. In each episode, you'll hear from the authors that make Supply Chain Management Review such a special publication. This podcast is hosted by Bob Troublecock, Editorial Director of Supply Chain Management Review. Remember that Bob welcomes your comments now to today's episode. Welcome to today's episode of Talking Supply Chain. Supply chain on the high wire, it's all a matter of choreography. I'm Bob Troublecock, and joining me today are Stan Fawcett and Mike Niemeyer. Stan is a professor at the University of Applied Sciences, Upper Austria, and Mike is a professor of logistics at The Ohio State University. They're frequent contributors to SCMR and the co-authors of Thriving on the Supply Chain High Wire. Stan, Mike, welcome.
It's great to be with you today, Bob.
Bob, it's always a pleasure to join you.
And it's a pleasure to have you with us. Now, if you've had a chance to listen to the other episodes with Stan and Mike, or if you've read the articles they and their partners write for SCMR, you know that they find relevance to our profession in some very unlikely places. Rock and roll drummers, baseball managers, and basketball teams, to name a few. Today, we're going to talk about the role of choreography in supply chain and what managers can learn from Cirque du Soleil. Let's jump right into today's discussion. Guys, first, I have not seen Cirque in person, but my wife is a big fan. She's been there on numerous occasions. So I was fascinated with this topic when I first read your article. Let's start where the two of you start. You look at the Ringling Brothers, you know, at one time, the greatest show on earth, and compare it to what's happening with Cirque, which I think many people think is the greatest show on earth today. Make the comparison for us. What can we learn from the fate of the Ringling Brothers versus the success of Cirque?
Bob, that's a great question. You know, we've spent over 30 years working with supply chain companies around the globe, including some of the very best supply chain leaders worldwide. During that time, we've seen two related challenges. Most companies really struggle to develop a business model that uses supply chain resources to offer a truly unique but highly desired product or service experience to the customer. And those that do it well struggle to stay on the cutting edge or even remain relevant over time. And that's where the Ringling Brothers Cirque comparison comes in. You noted Ringling was considered the greatest show on earth. When I was just a kid, growing up in Wisconsin, we went to see the circus as a school classroom. Of course, it was the Ringling Brothers. Everyone was excited for weeks. It seems like going to the circus was all we could talk about on the playground.
Yeah, that's right, Bob. The touring circus was huge back in the day. I can even remember taking a date when I went to college in John Carroll University up in Cleveland and sitting there and watching the circus as a slightly older adult and saying just how much it reminded me and was very similar to what I saw as a kid. But where is Ringling Brothers today? Bankrupt. You know, Ringling Brothers performed its last show on May 21st, 2017 in New York at the Nassau Coliseum. So our question was really, why did Ringling Brothers go out of business?
And Bob, perhaps your listeners are thinking that the circus was really a relic of the 20th century. They may even be thinking it's amazing Ringling survived as long as they did. But if they are thinking something like that, it's because they're overlooking Cirque du Soleil. It is a smashingly successful 21st century circus. So again, our story has always been, how do we get companies to collaborate to create exceptional value? And neither Ringling nor Cirque ever did things on their own. It was always about moving a lot of pieces into a wonderful story, a wonderful experience. And comparing their two fates, Ringling was built on choreography, but forgot to continue investing in choreography. And that's why Mike's experience was what it was. It hadn't changed over the years. But Cirque constantly invests in this thing we call choreography. And the comparison helps us answer one of the great mysteries of business. How do one-time showstoppers lose their balance on a competitive high wire? So, Bob, I think to summarize what we're thinking about and what we wrote about, by comparing these two, you can learn how to use supply chain capabilities to help your company win today's tough competitive battles.
You know, I'm going to come to the next question in a second, but when you were talking about the, you know, sort of losing your mojo, it reminds me of, you know, the fate of what was once considered, you know, the greatest management company on earth, which was GE, which in, you know, recent years, has gone through two or three CEOs, which also meant two or three, you know, different new business plans, the shedding of once very successful businesses, and a, you know, a great storied company that is really struggling to find its footing. So it's, you know, when you were talking about what happened to Ringling, it sort of brought up to me sort of the GE comparison. I made that comparison, not you guys. So listen, central to your article are two characteristics, and you both just hit on them. One is choreography and one is competency. Now, some supply chain managers certainly have to learn some fancy dancing to keep their operations running. But can you guys explain to us those two concepts? You know, what you mean by choreography, what you mean by competency, and why they're important?
Sure, Bob. Let's start with competency. You know, the idea of developing a core competence has been a goal for businesses dating back to the early 90s, and has continued to be a focus for decades. You know, a lot of my research is in the area of logistics outsourcing. And one of the things we're always talking about is companies focusing in on what are your core competencies, and maybe logistics isn't one and you can turn to an outside party to provide it for you. However, Stan and I both believe that firms have invested a great deal of time and resources into capabilities that mistakenly are seen as core competence. Few companies truly have core competence, and what you know they don't understand is you pay a price if you can't do what your customers truly value across multiple markets that can't be copied by competition.
So let me segue into choreography. In the arts, choreography is considered the art and science of making meaning through space and time. If we translate that to the supply chain world, choreography is really the competence that creates value for customers. Value that customers are delighted to pay for. We call choreography an alpha competence because it is the skill set and the process used to create a true core competence. So if you don't know how to do choreography, or if you're not doing choreography, the odds that you build that elusive, non-imitable core competence are really small.
So, you know, since the first thing led me to think about GE, when Mike was talking a moment ago about, you know, few companies truly have a core competence and they pay a price if they don't understand what their customers truly value, it reminded me of reading, you know, about Warren Buffett, or listening to Warren Buffett talk about how he identifies the companies that he wants to invest in. And, you know, and he looks for those companies that have the true core competence that they can roll out and separate themselves from the pack. You know, he's just had this really great knack for understanding what companies, you know, have a moat and have management that understand that. So again, that one really resonated with me while I was listening to the two of you explain this. So in the article, you made some really great observations about things that CERC excels at: infrastructure, time, and empowerment. How do they apply to supply chain management?
Bob, let me put these three elements in context. They're all kind of antecedents to CERC's choreographic capability. And you could look at it this way. CERC's choreographers, they do a great job of coming up with the storyline that will captivate the audience. Well, then they have to translate this storyline into specific acts on the stage and individual movements that create awe in the mind and heart of the audience. CERC leaders know that going from concept to show requires a huge amount of effort, both in terms of training and in getting everyone on the same page, because you're out there on the stage and everyone's moving. They have to move in sync. It's almost what we would like an ideal supply chain to look like. Well, that in mind, Cirque wasn't concerned about putting their money where their mouth was. That's why they built a 36,600 square meter creative hub where ideas, talent, and technology come together to become a hit show.
Cirque really focuses on taking the time to choreograph, and they empower their people in pursuit of a really great show. By taking the time to develop their shows, and they typically take about 2 years per show, along with it pulling in a variety of informed perspectives, they can build a foundation for greater experimentation and improvisation within their company. You know, today's supply chain managers would really benefit from reflecting on the amount of time and space they provide their teams as they work to build distinctive supply chains.
Stan, I just want to ask you about something you hit on. Because I keep, whenever I read one of these articles, I keep trying to take these elements and say, well, let me think about companies that do this. And when you talked a moment ago about Cirque building, you know, their 36,000 square meter creative hub, I had a chance to visit DHL's Innovation Center in Chicago, out near O'Hare Airport. And I know many of the 3PLs, and it's not limited to 3PLs. I'm just familiar with what they're doing. Cisco has done the same thing. Cisco did a presentation at my conference about their innovation center. But they've been building these centers where really the whole goal of the center is to bring in, for instance, new technologies and experiment with them and play with them and see, you know, what they can do and what they can't do and how they might then be applied, you know, in real life out into operations. And I wonder if you think of, what Cirque's doing as an analogy to what some companies are trying to do with their innovation centers to keep, you know, ahead of their competition.
Oh, absolutely, Bob. What Cirque is that creative hub, we're bringing ideas, talent, and technology together. That's exactly what DHL is doing. And that's really what the best companies do. But when I said these are antecedents, both you have to invest in the infrastructure, but if you don't invest in the culture that allows you to take the time and bring your people together and truly empower them so that they put their best ideas on the table, they're not going to learn to experiment and improvise. And Bob, thinking about the last 2 years, has there ever been a time in recent memory where companies have needed to experiment and improvise more than these last 2 years of COVID lockdowns?
It has definitely been a time of throwing stuff against the wall to see what's going to work, right? All right, so let's go back to the choreography, because I think that's the hardest notion for people to wrap their arms around, and for no other reason than, you know, like we've all seen the movie All That Jazz, Showtime. You think of choreography as, you know, as dancing and ballet and modern dance and so on. So explain to us again what it is that choreographers do and how they do it as it relates to supply chain.
Sure thing. During the development of this article, we really wanted to draw a distinction between the concept of choreography and that of orchestration, you know, a concept that is probably more commonly connected to supply chain. For example, the idea of using a 3PL to orchestrate supply chain activities has been widely adopted across industry. For us, choreography at its heart is about empowering. It's, in contrast to where orchestration is really about control. And this is a key distinction. You know, so to test our thinking around this idea, we actually reached out to Susan Petrie, a dance professor who works with me at Ohio State. She was gracious enough to provide us her insights into being a choreographer. In fact, she invited all of us out and included us in a workshop we held on campus at Ohio State, where she put together a performance in less than an hour to demonstrate just how a choreographer works with a dance troupe. We saw how she painted a guiding vision for the performance and then interactively worked with each of the dancers to jointly, you know, think through the performance. She experimented. She built on individual strengths of the individual dancers. She collaborated with these dancers to develop the performance. And then what was interesting is then she stepped off the stage. She let the performance happen without her active involvement. This contrasts with the idea of orchestration, where you have a maestro, you know, who's clearly dictating the way things are going to be done. We were drawn to choreography being a higher level approach that could be, you know, really valuable for supply chain managers to think about and to apply in appropriate contexts.
You know, as Mike describes that workshop at Ohio State, one of the things I remember that was really cool is that Susan shared her vision of what she wanted to accomplish, but she didn't dictate individual steps or how things needed to be done. In fact, sometimes members of the dance troupe would come and say, you know, Susan, that's just not going to work. And her response typically was, well, then what will? So that's that type of empowerment that really gets people excited about working through things. They're not afraid to make mistakes. They're willing to put their ideas out on the table. And whether their ideas are adopted or not doesn't matter, as long as they can come together and produce a high-quality experience for their viewers. And I thought that was really cool. So, Bob, let me summarize. Choreographers create meaning, what we would call value in the supply chain world, by seeing and communicating the big picture. They build and empower their team and then get that team to be able to do things that most people think are really hard. You know, things like sharing ideas, experimenting to find new ways to get things done, all without fear, and improvising when something goes wrong. Because I don't think there's a day where something doesn't go wrong in our supply chains. But if you're watching Cirque, you're never going to notice because the team members cover the gaps. So choreographers cultivate energy. They promote a type of synthesis that gets a lot of ideas on the table, and they make sure that the best ideas percolate to the top and become part of the show. Bob, have we been responsive to your question?
Stan, that distinction between choreography and orchestration was really good. And I'm sure I read that when I edited the article some time ago, but I had lost sight of that. That really brought it home. Now, the one idea before we go to the next question, or the one thing I wanted to ask is, did you guys dance at the workshop?
She tried to talk us into dancing. I got a couple of left feet, so I resisted, but she was more than happy to get us out onto the stage. And it was very, very interesting when we reached out to her. She was very receptive to the idea because they have actually, on their side, had thought a lot about, you know, what some of their their dancers could do outside of dancing. And some of the things that they learn as dancers and trying to apply it to the business world. So we had a really nice conversation with her about the two areas and how they could connect.
Yeah, no, that was listening to that explanation. That was really fascinating. So, walk us through how this applies to supply chain management and how I assess whether my supply chain is built for choreography, and if not, how I achieve it. Because I think the last couple of answers, you guys have really, you know, made this for me come alive in terms of a supply chain context. So, again, how do I assess whether my supply chain is built for choreography?
Well, choreography as a supply chain competence really is, we look at it over five stages. You know, the first thing you need to do is to be able to see the possibilities. How do different elements in your supply chain work together? Next, you need to expand on your capabilities. And a big component of this step is acquiring and managing the right supply chain talent and putting them in a position to succeed. And that's really difficult right now. I've heard a lot of talk about how the hybrid work environment is making it difficult to, really help people plan their career paths and develop their people. The third stage is all about cultivating sense making, which involves creating a shared vision. You know, and to do that, you really have to have open discussion of the various ideas that people have within the organization. Then we move on. We go to elevate empowerment, where you as a manager would encourage and enable experimentation and improvisation by your workers in pursuit of value, very similar to what Susan did in the dance performance. And then the last step is we conclude with adapting through synthesis, where we organize and integrate our ideas into value for the customers and hopefully really create a distinct place in their mind.
So, Bob, those are the five competencies that make up a true choreographic competence. You asked, how do we assess? So we don't have time to go into the details of assessment, but we do provide two assessments in the article. The first, ask questions that help you assess whether you possess the skills and behaviors of a supply chain choreographer. The second assessment gives you a way to evaluate your company and its readiness to use choreography to build a true core competence. As Mike mentioned earlier, most companies don't. But we can tell you that the companies that get this figured out, who develop choreographic competencies, they earn customer mindshare and they enjoy high market valuations. And they're not just successful today, but they've got the type of supply chain that can win in tomorrow's marketplace. So we invite everyone who's listening to take a look at the article to see how these two assessments work. They'll help you identify your strengths. They'll call out the gaps and allow you and point the way so you can focus on closing that gaps to become more effective choreographers.
Last question, and I'm going to probably ask you guys this again in the future. So on the podcast, we've talked about Theo Epstein, who was, you know, a great baseball GM, Bill Russell, the player coach on what was perhaps the greatest basketball team of all time, and rock and roll drummers, and now the circus. Draw the line between them. What's the commonality between these four articles?
I'll take that first. You know, for me, it's all about how to put on a great performance. You know, whether it be in a classroom, at a baseball stadium, on stage at a concert, or in your supply chain. You know, customers expect to walk away from each interaction they have with your business being happy. You know, we as managers need to find insights. We need to find innovations wherever they may exist. And if we look for them, they can inspire us to deliver a really great supply chain performance. As someone who spends a great deal of time studying how supply chains operate, I'm always seeing opportunities to learn from other contexts. You know, as I walk around each day, I'm seeing connections to what we study in supply chain. This really has led us to document these ideas, and we think it's a creative way to pull students and managers into the dialogue.
So, Bob, let me just step back a little bit. For me, the connection really comes from the sum of the work that we've done in trying to figure out what works and what doesn't in building a world-class supply chain. So over the years, we've been studying and working with great companies. We've taken everything we've learned, and you could say we've put together a master script. And the result of this master script is we've been able to define the skills and processes that companies really need to use SCM to win in the marketplace. And here's the connection. Each of these articles describes a part of that master script, the master roadmap. So we've really developed, and we use this in the classroom, we depict this process as a 12-piece supply chain puzzle, and each article we've had the pleasure to work on with you and SCMR either communicates how to put the puzzle together or takes a deep dive into one of the individual pieces, the indispensable competencies of successful supply chain leaders. Ultimately, if we're fortunate to get through all of them, your listeners will have the complete script for building a supply chain that can win not only today, but also in tomorrow's chaotic but fun and exciting marketplace.
Well, we're going to endeavor to get through them all. So that's great. I've really had a lot of fun doing these. That's all the time we have today. Again, thanks to Stan Fawcett and Mike Niemeyer for joining us. And thank you for listening. Be sure to read Thriving on the Supply Chain Highwire on SCMR.com. If you found this on iTunes or one of the other platforms, take the time to scroll through and listen to the other episodes with Stan and Mike if you haven't listened to them already. And give you a little preview. Look for their next article on Jackie Chan and supply chain complexity. I'll be publishing that in the March issue of SCMR. And we're hoping to do a podcast in March on that topic as well. So I hope you'll be back for our next episode. For Supply Chain Management Review, I'm Bob Troublecock. Talking Supply Chain is produced by Supply Chain Management Review and Peerless Media. You can find it on scmr.com, on iTunes, or under SC247, or just Google SC247 podcasts. For more information, be sure to visit scmr.com. We hope you'll join us again.